cut my way up out them trenches, just to be specific. I had to get it how I live, now I just live to get it. Making history with them Clippers, cause it was written. Blessing essences with my presence, because I'm gifted.
Cut, cut my way out.
I had to
cut, cut my way out.
Hey, let me tell you how I
cut, cut my way out.
Watch me
cut, cut
my way out.
Yo,
what's going on, my brother?
How you living? How you living?
Good to see you, man.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Man, all right. I don't know, man, what was going on with the connection. They had to shut down and bring it back up, man. So I appreciate your patience, man.
Yeah, it's all good. We're here
yes,
now.
Sir, yes, sir. You look tired, bro.
Well, I thought it was at 7:30. It's 8:30 time.
Oh, it's 8:30 your time?
I'm up early, so okay.
We're going to make sure we don't have you too
long. We're good.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and get it cracking, man. For all those who don't know, this Side Cut My Way Out podcast, we have Angel Rawls at Angel Rawls this evening. It's a pleasure, man, to have you. I don't know if you remember us, man. We at the CT Expo, we were in the same hotel, yep, taking a picture together that night going to the Grammys, man. So we appreciate you willing to jump on, man. So as we get it started, you know, I followed you for a while, man. The first time I seen you in person, we were in Miami, and you were doing some content for Kenny Duncan. He was holding a class. And so he introduced you, this my man, Angel. I don't know if you remember, but you were shooting some content for him. You had the cameras and whatnot. So I didn't get a chance to holler at you then, but been following you, man, and seeing what you're doing. So could you give everybody just a short bio about who Angel is before just the successful barbering started?
Is he still up on your end?
Yeah, he's still up.
He gone on my end.
Is it?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I can't hear him. I can't see him. Go back in. Just go ahead.
I just see his picture, but he's froze.
Yeah, his picture not even on my end.
Really?
Yeah, I can only see you in shot. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. He dropped off in the middle of your conversation. Okay. Hey, this is again why he's jumping on what's
in the back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Okay,
sorry, no problem. Go ahead. We didn't mean to cut you off, man.
So, yeah, man, I was just saying, man, we just, you know, as we start off, could you give us a short bio about who Angel is before, you know, the success and the cutting started happening? It's kind of weird.
Yes.
A little bit about yourself.
Yes, I was born in Kissimmee, Florida. Grew up for some time in Dalton, Georgia.
Okay.
And then moved to Jacksonville, Florida when I was 14. I've been here ever since. My mom and my two sisters. My mom was a single mom. So, didn't really have many resources. Graduated high school and just didn't have many avenues to take. So barbering was kind of like my safe haven. You know what I'm saying? I started cutting my homies' hair, and it was a way to provide. And I was able to help my mom a lot. I was able to be the man of the house, you know what I'm saying, in a sense. So literally, man, barbering saved my life. Like, opened a lot of doors for me, opened a lot of opportunities. And was able to really, really help my family. But I started just like everybody else, man, in the garage, cutting the homies,
right.
Whoever would allow me to butcher them, practicing on whoever. And then ended up getting hired into a barbershop with no license. And cut for about a year and a half. Was in college for graphic design for a little while. But I was cutting hair because I didn't really think barbering was my thing at that time. And I was doing it just to make a little bit of extra money, but really I wanted to be a graphic design artist. At that time, man, people would always like talk negatively about being a barber. Like, oh, you're not going to make no money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just wasn't really a respectable career at that time. So in my mind, I was like, I got to go to college and do something else because this ain't it, just because I was being so discouraged by my surroundings. But stayed board came in, And like I said, I didn't have a license, so I had to go get a license. So I finished my semester of graphic design. Didn't finish, but just finished that one semester I was in. And then signed up for cosmetology school because it was cheaper. You know, barber school was private, where Cosmo was a community college.
Okay.
It was different, you know what I'm saying? It was a little longer because I had to do 3 semesters rather than the straight up 9 months of 1,200 hours. So they had to break it down into semesters because it was a community college. So it took me a little longer, but it was almost $7,000-$8,000 cheaper.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yeah. So got my Cosmo license. And while I was in school, man, my teacher, I've always been an artist, bro. Like, I've always loved drawing. I've always loved anything that has to do with art. Hence the fact that I picked up a camera. Just another way of creating art. You know what I'm saying? It's another art form. Just my teacher seen it in me. I've always been a super introvert. Like, I don't really go out of my way to talk or be seen or be in the crowd, or, you know what I'm saying? I kind of more laid back, chill.
Hell no. What? You an introvert?
Yeah, man. I had to break out of my shell.
Hell no. I seen you in your suit. I don't believe that shit.
I mean, that's just years of, like, you know, in this industry, bro, if you want something and they put you in a position, bro, even if it's hard, you gotta figure out a way to get through that. And that was what I did. Like, I was literally, bro, the first time I ever spoke in front of an audience, man, my hands were sweating. I damn near walked out of the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just wasn't into that. Like, that's not really my thing. But now I feel comfortable because I've practiced and I've honed in on learning and learning from people like Danny, Success Addict, Kenny Duncan, just being and the squad and the education that they bring. I have to up my game. Like, I have to be, you know, of that top tier. So I had to practice, I had to study, I had to watch, I had to learn. And I think filming and recording actually helped me a lot, because I was able to record, and as I'm editing, I'm going back and watching their classes. And I think I've watched more classes than a lot of barbers just being able to film them,
because
I'm filming them, and then when I get home, I'm editing and I'm able to watch them back. So I'm, like, really studying those classes. But it took me a while, man.
I want to applaud you, man. I'm sorry I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah,
from you. I definitely want to applaud you. We believe very, very, very extremely in giving people their flowers where they deserve them.
I appreciate it.
And I know a lot of introverts. I consider myself a hybrid. I'm introverted, but I'm extroverted. I'm introverted when I can be, but I'm extroverted in social settings because the barbershop has kind of groomed me to be there. But you just say that you struggle with being an introvert, and then to draw back reflection, the person that I met, that we met in Miami, or what were we at? Connecticut?
That
deserves some applause, bro, because
man.
Your presence was very, I even said that to Ash when we left from that lobby to go over. I was like, man, that dude, he got a real good energy about him. Like, his energy is present in this room. I'm supposed to be in this room. You supposed to know I'm in this room, but without being arrogant. That is extremely, some of the most sociable people in the world still haven't figured out how to be that. So for you to be that and to say you come from a introverted, you know what I mean, your natural way of being is being an introvert is like, hell, not bullshit. I seen you in your suit. No, absolutely not.
I appreciate it, man. I think that's why it's important to tell your story.
Right.
Yeah.
You really never know who you're gonna relate to, and who you are just telling your story, because people would never know that unless you tell it. So sometimes it's not really it's not bragging or like trying to be, you know, trying to set yourself apart, but it's really just a true story that relates to people, and people gravitate towards that because you're being real and you're being genuine. I think that,
you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I think a lot of people lack that, because a lot of times we try to compare ourselves to other people. Like, I want to be so much like this educator. I want to be so much like so and so that I look up to. But at the same time, it's like, bro, I got my own story to tell, and I tell my story, and I tell it in a genuine way because I'm just keeping it honest. It impacts harder because you don't really realize how relatable you are until you are.
No doubt. I also
somebody type that down in the comments. We got to tag that. I love that.
I agree with when we met you and I seen you, I came to you, introduced myself. You know, I asked if you would get in the picture with us. You seem confident, sure of yourself, not arrogant at all. Yeah. Real cool. Your energy was there. Like, yeah, let's go ahead and take the picture. You even, you know, the shuttle came. You was like, man, y'all go ahead and jump in. Just wasn't enough room at that point, right? You had the big chain on with Rawls on, so you know you look confident. So I would have never known you were an introvert and watch your content and whatnot. So once you went ahead and went back to school, did you go back to that same barbershop, or what was your next step?
So when I was in Cosmo School, like I told you, I loved art, and my teacher seen something in me that I didn't. So when I was in school, she found a competition here in Jacksonville, Florida, the Black Expo, and she kept asking me to sign up, but I just didn't want to. But I didn't like being on the stage. I didn't like cutting in front of people. Nothing about it intrigued me. You know what I'm saying? I just wasn't. It wasn't my thing. But she offered to shave off some of my hours in school. So, yeah, because she already knew I could cut because I had been in the barbershop for like a year and a half. So I'm in school. I'm giving them tricks and tips that I knew at that time, and, you know, of how to cut men's hair, because their main focus was finger waves and, you know what I'm saying, like women's hair.
Right.
I'm in there. I'm giving them little pointers on cutting, on fading. And she knew she was like, if I can get you out of here sooner, I will help you, because you're going to learn more out there than sitting in this classroom. You know, you're going to learn the book, but we want you to get you back in the barbershop. So she signed me up for the competition without me knowing, and I ended up competing, and then I just fell in love with it. Like, fell in love with just being in front of the crowd, like cutting hair and win or lose, man. And I always tell people this, like, when you're competing, you never know who's really watching you. And I think that's opened so many doors for me, is because, like, regardless if I win or lose the competition, there's somebody in that crowd that's gonna like my work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or that has the same cutting style as me, or, you know. So now I figured out that I was putting myself in a position that I was on a platform, regardless if I, you know, I invested in it. Like, I kept competing after that. I ended up winning that one, and then I kept competing, going to show, and that's how I grew Angel Ross and my brand. Mm-hmm. Was competing. That's how I started, you know. And back then there was no social media like that, so like there was more like MySpace, Facebook started coming around, so it was early in that time of social media. But my preparation was there. So every time I would go and step on stage, I had already done that haircut like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing the same model that I cut those 3 or 4 times that I did it. So when I tell people about competing, it's like a lot of these dudes think that they just get in their head and they're like, yeah, I'm just going to pick somebody from the crowd and just kill it. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, you could never beat me, because I'm prepared every time I come. I'm bringing my model. If my model can't come, I'm not competing. You know what I'm saying? So I was so prepared that, like, I just ended up winning like 6 battles in a row. And at that time, it was unheard of. You know what I'm saying? So I'm posting trophies on Facebook, and I just grew a name for myself through competing. And then ended up winning the Andes at Bronner Brothers competition. So Andes had hosted their battle every year, and I won that. And then it was the professional battle. I think there was like 20 competitors, and I was a student still. Mm. They didn't want to give me my check.
Really?
Cause I didn't have
it's technically not supposed to be received. Yeah.
I didn't have a license, and when I signed up, they didn't ask for it. They
right.
asked for one.
Right.
But one of the judges ended up vouching for me and was like, you know, he won it, you know, fair and square. So they ended up cutting the check. And then I graduated like probably about a month and a half later.
Okay.
It wasn't a big deal. And then, yeah, I ended up going back to that same barbershop.
Okay.
Worked there for a little while, and it ended up not doing so good. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys that was there, actually one of my best friends now, BV, he ended up buying the barbershop, and then I stayed there until I opened up my own.
Okay. All right.
That's pretty dope, man. I think a couple things that you said, kind of giving us your origin story, right? Your barber origin story.
Yeah.
First off, thank you for teaching me how to say kissing me, because we was there for a little while, and I had no idea how that arrangement of words was pronounced. So I just said, I'm over here by all the resorts and all that stuff, right? But the second thing that stood out the most to me, in addition to your coming through being more shut off and closed off, was it sounded like you had a support system going into the barbering school. You sound like you had an instructor or some, at least the person who was over the school who had your best interests at heart. I'm dying to know, with you being a educator, a global educator. Let me put some emphasis on that shit. A global educator, are you finding it that you're hearing it more and more, or are you hearing stories at all of people who don't have that same guidance in school? Like, are you seeing a void in that area of education?
Yeah, I also think, I think it goes on both sides though. You know what I'm saying? I think the new generation of barbers, they're hard to motivate in this moment. Like, I feel like a lot of them feel entitled, even fresh out of school. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's just what I noticed. Like, I'm not saying all barbers that come out of barber school right now are doing it. I just feel like there's a sense of entitlement in the barber industry. And maybe it's our fault. You know what I'm saying? The older generation.
Contributed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of contributed to it. And we did a lot of things that we were growing the industry. But I think barbers, never seen a time where they had to do $15 haircuts and really grind it out in the barbershop every single day in and day out. So when they come out of school, they're just entitled now. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to, they're hard to mentor. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying in general, that's what I'm noticing, is like some of them just want it straight out of school. And it's like, bro, you didn't see the 15 years that we put in to get here. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't see the times where it was slow and we were still sitting there grinding. Like, you didn't see me coming in on Sunday, you know what I'm saying, working from 12 to 5 just because I needed it, you know what I'm saying, or I was trying to build. Or you didn't see me walking through the parking lot handing out flyers and saying, yo, I'll do a if you and your homie come in, I'll just charge one of y'all and y'all split it and tip me if it's good, don't come back if it's not. Like, y'all didn't see that, you know what I'm saying? So now it's like they come straight into these busy barbershops that the owner has grinded out and helped make that business that way. And I just feel like there's a sense of entitlement in the generation.
It definitely sounds like the age old baby boomers versus new gen or Generation X, whatever. It's such is life though, right? I think every generation is going to see the flaws in a generation after them, and the generation after them are going to see the missed advantages of the generation that came before them, right? I don't think that's any different with barbering. I am interested. I agree with you, right? I agree that it is a lot of entitlement in barbering now, and it's a lot of the world right now. The world is just in a place where people don't want to do the work that it takes to yield the success that they want or that they see other people have. Everyone's in a rush to try to figure out how to get the shortcut to the success. Everybody wants to be the person to come up with the great plan. I figured out how to get muscles without going to the gym. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's the world I feel like we live in. I am interested in your perspective, sticking with that topic a little bit. What things do you feel like are being left out? Or what things do you feel like are being neglected when guys take that approach versus taking that traditional approach of you come in, you the walk-in dude, your haircuts are significantly lower than everybody else's because you knew you building up your bones and da-da-da-da-da. What things do you feel like are being left on the table when they taking this new age approach versus a traditional approach to barbering?
I think the harder route sometimes the I'm going to give you a simple example, right? Mm-hmm. So, enhancements. Mm-hmm. Barbers come out of school not knowing how to cut hair using enhancements. We didn't have enhancements. We had to learn how to fade first and right. then add enhancements, right? So, then we perfected the enhancement. So, the haircut was already there. Then we added the enhancements. Now, it's a haircut first and then enhancements. Mm-hmm. Right? So barbers are coming out of school straight to the enhancements and never really perfecting the fade, right? And that's just a small example. Like, there's a lot of things that I could use that as reference to, but the journey makes you that master barber that you should be. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not knocking in. I don't care. I use enhancements. Like, I don't care about that. I'm just using it as an analogy to what's going on. You're skipping steps trying to get to something without learning in the process, right? Sitting next to somebody that might have already ran through the process and you're just trying to jump to his level, but you haven't been through what he's been through, and you have to do that. And maybe you could skip some steps. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But come into there with a humble mindset of I'm going to learn step by step, and I promise you're going to be a better barber. Mm-hmm. I promise, because you can't just jump from here to there and expect to be where that person is, because you haven't sacrificed and put in the time to learn each step, right? And yeah, finding a great mentor, you could definitely skip some steps. I'm not saying that. Right. But what I'm saying is you got to start and don't skip those. Don't skip every step.
Right.
Some respect steps have valuable right. lessons.
Right. Respect and trust the process. So I have a question for you. Being an owner of a shop, so these things that you're seeing in the industry, what do you implement or how do you approach it when you're dealing with young barbers, if there are any that are actually cutting your shop?
So it's very hard, man. But one thing that I do implement, man, I don't really care how a barber cuts hair when I hire a barber, right? I really more so care about who that person is, because okay. I can't change who you are, but I can change you as a barber.
Right.
Right. But when you come in with a bad attitude, you come in, you don't listen, you come in, or maybe you don't come in, you know what I'm saying? I can't change who you are. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm talking to somebody, I might hire somebody without even seeing them cut hair. I just like their energy. I just like the way they, yo, you've been cutting for 2 years. Cool, man. But let's have a conversation. Let's sit down. And I'll talk to them and I enjoy the conversation. I might hire them. I'll give you 2 months to let's see how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you're going to get better in my shop, because I know the barbers that I have in there and I know the talent that's in there. You can't surround yourself with these people and not get better. But you
will. I don't know.
When come ruin the good apples. So if I see that the energy is off, or like the person just has bad habits, you know what I'm saying? They consistently taking breaks or not coming to work, then yeah, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But if they're in there and they're willing to learn and they want to learn, they want to work, and they got a family to feed, and they got responsibilities, and they got stuff that they got to take care of, and I see that grind, then yeah, I'm gonna work with that all day. I don't care. I got I've had some barbers that really weren't the best barbers in the world, but will sit there and make more money than some of the most talented barbers in my city.
Absolutely.
Because it ain't about that. And that's where the misconception comes in, because we see all these haircuts on Instagram. We see the flashy haircut. That's cool. That's cool. But you gotta learn customer service. You gotta learn how to take care of your clients. You gotta be there. You gotta be reliable. Those are values that'll make you a great barber. Those are the values that'll get you paid. It ain't about.
Man, I like that you pay attention to context of character, opposed to you know, can you do a fade good? Can you do a line straight?
Yeah.
Granted, you know, the industry that you're trying to work in, yes, those things are eventually going to be important. But like you said, the biggest thing that you said that stuck out the most to me is all the other things, the tools that you need to be successful. I can help provide those to you. You know, you can learn those things. Character is something that is. It is or it ain't.
Yeah, right.
And I can't. Yeah, I'm not going to put you in a situation where you are the bad apple that spoils the bunch, because that does happen. Yeah. I do want to play devil's advocate, right, with the new barber, new generation kind of conversation, because I think that's a conversation that has a lot of meat that we can chew on.
Okay.
With it, because it has, it's one of those things, especially when you're talking about enhancements, styles of haircuts, approach to business, advertising, marketing, understanding strategy with understanding the market, all those things. There's two very, very, very clear lines in that: traditional old school mindset, new school mindset. It exists, right? Almost every conversation that can be had about it. The way I want to play devil's advocate with it, right, is based on what you said. What is your opinion, or how do you feel about the guys who coming out of school who their perspective is just because the traditional way of doing things worked for us doesn't mean that it's going to work for the next batch coming out? Because just like with business, right, we'll take that as a small example. You have the traditional mindset of business, right?
Yeah.
You go to a job, you find a job or career, right? You go to that place, you get an entry level position, you work that position until you start to advance within that business, until you advance to the place where you can start to lay down actual foundation for your career, right? That's a traditional mindset of the approach to work. Whereas guys in this new generation and women alike, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make that sound like I'm leaving the women out, right? People in this new generation feel like it's not necessarily skipping steps if they come out of school and instead of working their way from an entry-level position, you've already done the work for me. You've already done the entry-level information study for me. Yeah. So my way of coming out is I'm going to implement the things that you started to implement after you laid down your foundation, which means I'm going to start marketing myself while I'm in school. I'm going to start working on the trending haircuts outside of school while I'm in school. So when I come out of school, I know now I
can. You just contradicted yourself.
Go ahead. What do you mean?
Because they're still doing the work if they're marketing themselves in school. They're still doing the steps that I'm talking about. It ain't about where when they finish school, what they do, but those steps have to be taken. You have to learn how to market. You have to learn how to. You have to learn these things. And some of them don't even try to learn those things.
Right.
They think that they could do a fire haircut and call it a day. And then they're going to be the most successful barber in the world.
But the point, I think you made a good point. And we have a new barber in my shop. And he might be on the live, man. And he's young guy. He's young Hispanic. And he's fired with the Clippers. But that's something that we talk about all the time. Him building his clientele using platforms to market. And so that's kind of the struggle now. And he's really receptive to everything you bring at him. But that's one of the things that we're trying to work on is him picking up the clientele because he's fresh out of barber school. And so he hasn't been used to being on the social media platform. But like you said, you can't skip those steps. Back in the day, we were passing out business cards. You
could still just a different way to do it now. Like, I don't expect a new barber to come out of school and hand out business cards.
Right.
I don't even have business cards. I'm not doing that no more. Like, I'm still doing things the way the new era of barbering is because I move accordingly to the business. Like, I'm not gonna not evolve. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's not about not evolving. I think what I'm talking about more so is barbers coming fresh out of school and they want to charge $60 for a haircut, but they want to sit around all day because they're not busy.
Right.
Because you skipped those steps, bro. You didn't start at the 20, 25 and build your clientele first. Oh, so now you're jumping.
I see what you're saying. But to me, that's a character thing. It's skipping steps, yes, but that's more so a character development.
Not even the guys that go and open barbershops and then they completely fail. Like, bro, you didn't build.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You can't build off of my foundation when it comes to certain things. Right. Yeah, you could learn off of my lead, and I expect and I hope that a lot of barbers that listen to me and come to my classes, they do that because that's why we do that. Like, I want you to learn off of what I've done. But at the same time, bro, you got to go through your own building phase. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we're talking about two different things, but everyone has their phases. And I feel like a lot of barbers, they try to skip those phases and just straight to why am I not on the platform? You know, one of the biggest questions that I get when I teach a class for Andes is how can I get on this company? What do you bring to the table?
Right.
Like, what have you done? You know what I'm saying? And the mindset of just asking that question, I wouldn't dare ask that question. Man, like, that's not a question that, yeah, I want to know what steps I have to take, but like, these guys want to get on the platform right now. Bro, it doesn't work that way, yo. Build your relationships, bro. Invest in yourself. Come to the shows. You know how much money I spent traveling, going to hair shows, just being in the right rooms with the right people, shaking hands, taking pictures? Like, bro, it was years. I was an Andes ambassador for 6-7 years before I became an educator. Like, I waited my turn, bro.
Yeah.
And I played my position, bro. Everybody wants to be the man. Bro, you got to play your position, bro. Like, I don't mind coming to a hair show and not having a class and me just filming the other educators so I can highlight what they did. That's playing your position. And the bigger the company gets, the bigger I get, the more opportunities I get. Like, I'll be at BarberCon next week in California shooting, and I have one class, but I'm going to be shooting content. Like, I'm playing my position, bro.
That's where I first seen you in person was in Miami before we got cut off the first time. You were filming content for Kenny Duncan for his class at Brown & Brothers in Miami.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So I think that's a good perspective, man. And I definitely, again, I agree with you 100%. I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of, again, playing devil's advocate, because I'm around a lot of the young guys, and a lot of them, I don't really, it's hard for me to even play devil's advocate because I agree with you so much. Like,
yeah, no, but go ahead.
That's the way I had to do it. I had to pay attention to the environment, the condition, the climate of barbering, and understand coming into it as an already 30-year-old man, I need to see what's going on. Where's the problems? Where's the solution? How can I be a solution to a problem, period, right? That was my philosophy with barbering. And I watch guys now coming out of school, going into school, even older guys. There's a lot of older guys who started to change what was working that may have kind of slowed down or kind of tapered off. And now they're starting to behave and act a lot like the younger guys coming into the industry. But I think a lot of people coming into this industry, barbering is moving so fast, if you look at it just through the lens of social media, that people come into it and they feel like, I ain't doing it that way. If you go into a barber group, like I'm in a Facebook Tune 45 barber group, or the Addicted to Barbering group on Facebook. Oh my God, bro. Some of the stuff that people saying posting, it'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, because it's like, these are people who actually believe this stuff. They really believe it, and they believe it so much with so much conviction that they teach it to other people, right?
Yeah.
They feel like there is a way that exists to expedite the process where I can get the same results of what you're doing that you're planting the seed and you're watering it and letting it grow. They feel like they can get those same results in a microwave, because we live in a microwave success world, right? And they feel like they figured out where they're figuring out ways to make that work. So again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and hear everything and think about.
I can agree.
What count of things that they're saying with it?
Yeah, I can agree that they're coming into the barber game now compared to then. It is much different. It is much different. But when I say skipping steps, I think I'm talking more so of like honing in on skills.
Absolutely.
Like that's absolutely steps and work and building the clientele. Like, I don't care what you do on social media, you still got to sit in that barbershop and actually do the physical action of cutting hair.
Still got to be there. Absolutely.
And absolutely. What I see is a lot of barbers, they don't create a demand before they up their prices or start, you know, doing crazy stuff. It's like, bro, you create a demand. And your phone's gonna be blowing up so much that you're not gonna have a choice but to go up on your price.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's the steps. Like, bro, build that demand, and I promise there you're not gonna have a choice, because people are gonna be like, "Yo, Angel, can you get me in for an extra 25? Can you get me in for an extra 50?" Like, once you start getting them phone calls, and you're sitting there doing, you got four more heads, and you're charging them the regular price, but you got four people calling your phone, bro, it's time to up them prices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of them, I see it all the time. They'll come out of barber school, they'll try to charge those prices, and then they start working at Amazon part-time because they ain't making it.
Right.
How many barbers do you know that have went and got regular jobs? See it, because you're doing it, bro. It's not that you're a bad barber.
Right.
You just ain't go through the process, bro. And now you're out here working at Amazon loading boxes when this is really what you love. You're just going about it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that process is having patience.
Absolutely.
People don't come in and just off the bat. Everybody doesn't have that success. You're just booked. And like you said, playing that part, building your foundation. If you got to come in, you got to take more kids than you know, the veteran barbers. Whatever you have to do, you know, to build that foundation and become stable and become reputable and build that demand. I agree totally. You know what I'm saying?
And I think a lot of what Angel, the part that I completely agree with and cannot move on. It's hard for me to stand this devil advocate because it ain't working, because I don't agree with it. But the part that I agree with the most is the very thing that you vet barbers that come and introduce themselves to try to get jobs in your shop, meaning their character, the very thing that develops that character into barbers are those ground root things. Coming into a shop when it's slow and being able to be disciplined enough to stay there when it's slow, wait for that next haircut, or figure out, well, if I'm sitting, let me clean up, let me go and talk to some people, let me pass out some business cards, let me do more conversating. When I do get somebody in the chair, I'm that much more eager to talk to them about convincing somebody else to come with them next time. Those things build up that character, that development of barber character, right? That when the slow season come, because that's the part that I think a lot of guys coming into barbering don't really understand up front. And a lot of them are going to be called blindsided. That's when you see a lot of barbers panic and go and get jobs, because there is a season in this. This thing swings. It's
coming up in January.
You hear me? It's like this.
But y'all going to be right in that barber shop.
The guys who didn't come, that wasn't willing to come in and sit in and be there, or come in and talk to every client, speak to every person that come through the door, what will happen is those guys who was comfortable with that false perception of job security, or that false perception of being booked out, when it slow down, them books going to be slow. They're not going to have nothing, and they're going to be panicky.
Let me say this too, because I've seen some comments, you know, and we're talking, and like you said, Angel, it doesn't mean all of them. And so I see people, no hustle, lazy. It also depends on mentorship. Who do you have around you? And some of these kids, you know, or younger barbers just coming in, they don't have that mentorship, and everything they see is off of social media. So that's what they're chasing sometimes. So all of them aren't lazy. All of them don't have hustle. Sometimes they just don't have the leadership and the mentorship that it takes to really get them to that next point. So I just want to make sure, you know, young cats on here, if they're listening, don't think, you know, some of the comments and that they were seeing that we just drag them down, because doesn't mean everybody, but everybody has to
take definitely not everybody just
to make that
just really just telling young barbers what it is not to do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like take this and learn what not, you know, what just advice on what not to do.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. Nobody, and every young barber
doesn't it
information.
Say that again, bro. Oh, my bad.
My bad.
No.
I live in a rural area. But I think too, man, even with that comment about having good mentorship, right? Good leadership. It does a man no good to have the information if he's not willing to apply it. Even if you have good mentorship and good leadership, if you're not willing to be receptive of the information that you're getting, or the leadership that, if you're not willing to be led, you're not in a position to be led.
But this is the thing though. When you're dealing with young people, I don't care if it's barbering, if it's sports, whatever. A young person doesn't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So if you're guiding them and you can relate and you done went through it and you're giving them, you know, and you're creating relationship, you're going to get more. When we're just, you know, gunning at them and, you know, this is what you got to do, this is what you got to do. Most people, you know what I mean? Even us at our ages, if we're talking to 60, 70 year old cats, and you know, we're our age, that might fly over our head too. It's all about the approach, you know what I'm saying? How you approach it and how a person takes it in. So you can't drill a person, you know, if they don't know you care and you're just trying to tell them. But if they see that sincerity and you can relate, then you have a better chance of being able, you know what I'm saying, to get your points across and help them grow.
So let me ask a question. Can you be attempting to relay that information if you didn't care? Why would you even try to get that information if you didn't care?
Yeah, I agree. I've seen it barbering. I've seen it coaching. You can't chastise, you know, like for instance, when I was coaching basketball, you're dealing with 16, 17 year olds. They might be like Rawls. You said you were the man of your house.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the approach, you can't, you know, you got some people who want to chastise people. Mm-hmm. He might be in his house, he might be doing some things in his house that, man, I'm the man. You can't just talk to me like that. So the approach is everything, man. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. You know, it's different if they're just downright disrespectful. But everybody needs some mentorship. But
well, Angel, what's the best way? What is your advice on the best way to be a productive mentor or be a productive leader?
I think me as a mentor or leader, bro, I don't straight up come out and try to help everybody, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't. I really don't. I used to, but I don't. I've been burned a lot of times doing that. I think I gravitate more towards the guys I feel wanted. Like, if I give you a little bit of game and then I see you apply it right away, bro, I'm gonna keep feeding you because I'm good at. But if I give you a little bit and then you just still doing the same shit, I don't gravitate towards that. So I'll let you do your thing. You know, I'm more of an observer when it comes to the way I mentor, and I lead by example. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna see me in that barbershop. My chair is gonna keep spinning. I'm gonna do what I do regardless. But I'm always watching, like, who's the ones that really wanna excel, and those are the ones that I lean into. You know what I'm saying? So I never try to like force anybody's hand to do. There might be guys who are just comfortable with making whatever they make or cutting 2, 3, 4. They pay their rent on time. They got kids at home. They want to get home to the family. You know, I don't chastise anybody when it comes to that or try to force them into this industry stuff. It ain't for everybody. Mm-hmm. There's barbers that just want to sit in the barbershop. That's cool, bro. Mm-hmm. There's so many different lanes in this industry. Like, that's cool. Everybody has their own thing. But the way I think I mentor is more I lead by example. Like, because I'm still growing, I'm still learning, I'm still doing, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to get to that whatever that next level is. And, you know, I'm not stopping anytime soon. Like, I'm still continuing to learn every day. Like, so that's the way I lead by example is, bro, you see me grinding. Like, you see me every day. I got something going on that has to do with hair. I might not be in the barbershop, but I'm doing something that has to do with the industry and trying to evolve myself and trying to stay with the current times. So yeah, I agree that like maybe scolding somebody and trying to force them on your ways, that's not the way to go about it. Right. But feeding into people that do want to learn and then letting them do what they do with it. Like, I never want anybody that I mentor or teach to just do exactly what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, take what I tell you, spin it and use it in your own way. Cause you, like I said in the beginning, you got your own story to tell. Don't tell my story. I'm just telling you my advice on how I did it. Now use that and get creative and spin it in your own direction.
You making it difficult for me to be the devil's advocate, man, because I agree with everything you're saying, bro. Like, that's exactly my approach to it is the one thing that I always fear being or even being a representation of is a gatekeeper, right? I cannot stand people who gatekeep. So I never want to be that. So I wouldn't even consider myself a leader or a mentor. I would just consider myself somebody who's learning, putting to work the information that I learn, and I'm an open book, willing to be read. I'm open to give that information to somebody else or show somebody else. Or if you need advice, I can give you advice on what worked for me in that area that you're trying to pursue. And if you need advice on, well, can you look at the situation? What do you think I should do? Or what do you think is, you know, I try to be that. However, this industry will it'll force you to grow a callus over that part of you that more willing to let people in part of you. If you somebody who open up to people easy and you try to see the good in everybody first, this industry will quickly sharpen up that soft curved edge. It'll make that edge real sharp because people, unfortunately, and not everybody, and this don't have no age limit on it either, because young, old, men, women, clients, barbers, companies, whatever, right? It is some people in this world who have no objective other than taking from other people, to just take. They have no interest in redepositing anything that they take from you. They have no interest in how the things they take from you and the amount of energy they take from you, how it affects you. They don't care about that, right? They'll they'll never see it. They're not wired to even pay attention to that. And that's fine, right? People are entitled. People are the same space that people allow for me to be, I have to allow for other people to be themselves too, right?
Yep.
Because of that, I take that exact same approach that you do, where it's like, if I see that you want it, I see that you paying attention, you asking questions that's, you know what I mean? You constantly asking questions, or you keep coming around, and you keep wanting to talk about it, or you are interested in it. Or if I tell you just in a conversation, man, I was looking up this class and I see a light bulb go off on you and you interested in that conversation, without making you feel like I'm putting you under my wing or trying to lead you or nothing, I'm going to just keep feeding that interest. I'm going to keep feeding that part of you.
Yeah.
That way, that's my way of showing you in my actions that I do care about your outcome, right? Whereas I feel like I've tried the other approach where I've tried to go out and get the information and then I come back with this bag of information and I'm excited to give it to people and it's like, nobody want to hear that shit, OG. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, when did I turn into the OG? Like, that shit hurt my feelings. First, it's like, God damn, okay, cool. But second, it's like, everybody will sit around and talk about what success looks like and what they want to, what they want to do when they be successful and what it looks like and look at such and such doing this, look at such and such doing that, but nobody has any idea how to achieve it. And then I go out and achieve it and I bring it back to share it with you and you don't care, you ain't interested in it? Oh, shit, let me take my basketball and go home with it. Y'all playing a different game over there, cause, you know what I mean? So, definitely, bro.
I think it depends on who you deliver that bag to.
Right. Absolutely.
I think you deliver that bag in your own city, it might not come back so well, but when you go, you can't be a prophet in your own town. They say that all the time. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm in beautiful Murfreesboro and not Chicago, Illinois, bro.
Exactly. So it just all depends on the environment. But yeah, I'm the same way, bro. I've been through a lot, bro. Like, I owned 3 barbershops in the past, then I sold 2 of them. I done been through the ringer with, you know, working with people and trying to help people. And, you know, they think the grass is greener on the other side, so they're going to do some foul stuff to, you know, get there. And it's never really worked out so well for anyone that's done that. I think karma is a true thing. Yeah. So I've always just let it play out. You know, and a lot of people that have done that seem to be stuck in the same place that they were when they left. So it's not really a big deal. But I have definitely sharpened, like, as far as, like, I don't let people in like I used to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do hold my tongue a little bit when it comes to certain things. But if I continue to see that interest, and that's why I said, like, I'll give you a little bit and see what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because once I see you do something with that little piece of information, like, people ask me about cameras all the time. And I'm like, bro, here's the camera that you need to invest in. It's a cheaper brand. It's a cheaper camera, but it's a startup.
Mm-hmm.
If that barber goes and does it, which it's rare because it's still a couple $100 investment, then I'll feed into that. But I'll get the ones that just come up with excuse after excuse, but then they still want to ask questions about content creating. And bro, I already told you what to do, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect the level of content that's coming out from certain creators without investing in that certain camera, right? And then learning the settings. So start with a small camera, something that's $500-$600, and learn those settings. And then once you figure out the settings and how you like your color grades and all that stuff, then you know by that time you're gonna know what camera you want. Because right. By that time you should know enough to know that, all right, I'm either going Sony, I'm going Canon, I'm going Nikon. Because you've studied that one camera so much that maybe you bought a Canon and you're like, man, this is kind of difficult for me, but I kind of like the colors of this creator and he's using a Sony.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just that little bit of game that I gave you, just go buy this camera and try it, opened up a whole different mindset once you figured out that camera.
Tell DJ to watch his mouth. Hey, I got a Sony. I like my Sony. Watch your mouth.
Sony gang. DJ, what up, bro?
Yeah, but yeah.
What's up? I agree. But I'm just saying, a little bit of game you give somebody, that opens up a doorway.
Yeah.
But they don't see it that way. They see you as a gatekeeper, but you've already been through it, bro. Like, you know how you started, like, doing certain stuff. The way I started, I picked up a camera. So what I'm going to tell you to do, bro, go pick up a camera.
Camera, yeah.
And now you got me as the blueprint shortcut, because I'm going to sit. Once you go buy that camera, I'm going to teach you the settings, because I just can't help myself. I love that shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when somebody asks me about a camera and they have it in their hands, bro, I enjoy that. So me giving them that little bit of game and then just seeing what they do with it, if they come back with a camera, of course, I'm all ears now. You know what I'm saying? Because I see that you invested in it and I didn't have to go, you're not borrowing my shit or taking it off my station to try to play. Like, nah, bro. You know what I'm saying? Invest in your stuff and then that'll open up a doorway to that. And you either like it or you don't. But that's just an example of, like, questions that I get asked all the time. It's like,
I think something else with that too is I think people can be a little unrealistic with guys like yourself, right? I learned that talking to a barber friend of mine out in Nashville named Hunt the Barber. Hunt has this enormous following, right? Enormous following on YouTube, enormous following on Instagram, everywhere, right? the one thing that I started paying attention to was people like y'all who create content on a regular basis with barbering, you get asked the same question probably 100 times a day, right? With that, people will not get the response that they want from you, and they'll just put you in the category as a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
But when you really think about that, if you put that all in scope, is how many times am I expected to repeat myself about the same information to this vast array of people and have nobody do anything with the information?
Yeah.
And so it's, when I started looking at it like that, it was like, I get it. Now it's that much more valuable to me when somebody like an Angel or like an Osh or like a Hunt or a Kenny or a Poppy or anybody. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody give me a little information, or they take their time and they like, hey, I wanted to ask you about something, or I want to tell you something. That's like somebody handing me free money. To me, in my eyes, that's how I see it. It's like, damn, you want to give me this money? I'll bet, because if you give it to me, I'm definitely going to invest it. I'm going to put it in something, because, again, it does a man no good to have the information if you don't put it to use. My bad, Osh. Go ahead. I just had to say that real quick.
So, Angel, I had a question. As I followed you, you know, I know you're real big with the S&P and the S&P factory. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you got into the whole S&P part of the barber?
So honestly, bro, when I first heard about S&P, it was Jesse Lima called me up. He said, bro, there's this new procedure that they're doing and we need to go get certified. At that time, bro, I had 3 barbershops, so I was hella busy. And Jacksonville is like the biggest city land-wise in the country. So like my shops were like 30, 40 minutes away from each other. So like my day to day was crazy, because I would drive to all 3 shops in one day, and like I was just busy. I didn't have the time to like take on this new gamble, really, at how I looked at it. Because first it was expensive. Like I didn't think people were really gonna spend money on it like that. No one else was, like, there was barely any research. Like nobody was posting anything. Like if you go to YouTube and type in Scout Micro, there's barely much information, because people do the education, they do the classes. That's how we make our money. We educate, we teach, we do the courses. So there's not much information. So at that time, there was little to none information. But I was lightening up, and I wanted mine done. So I said, Jesse, I don't think I could do this right now. Give me some time to think on it. Jesse called me within an hour, and he's like, yo, dude says that if we come take the class, he'll take $1,000 off each of us, and he'll do your hairline as the model for the class. So now I was like, shit, I'm going to go get certified, and I'm going to get my hairline done. Say less, I'm on my way to Temple. So I went with Jesse. We took the class. The guy, he taught us enough for us to know, but he kind of withheld a lot of information. So I didn't really feel comfortable leaving that course to, like, go start tattooing somebody's head. Like, I just didn't. So when I came back home, I had my hairline and I was good. Like, I just fell back to my routine. I started, you know, taking care of my shops like I was regularly. But then Jesse went, because he was already in it. Like, he mentally, like, this was where he was going, regardless of what happened. Like, he called me to go train, but he was already in it mentally. So he got straight on to it. When he got back, he built the office in the back of his shop and just went straight to that path. I just went back to my regular routine for like a year and a half. So Jesse calls me and I'm like, bro, how's S&P going? He's like, bro, I'm killing it. Like, I got clients, I'm getting busy, like, I'm starting to slow down on cutting hair. I'm like, bro, no way. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I gotta come down there, because I ain't done it in a year and a half, but I need to come mess with you so you could refresh me on this, so I could bring it back home. Right. So that's what I did. I went back. Jesse gave me a second session, but I also picked his brain, learned. He put me through his routine, his course, and I brought it back to Jacksonville. And this was 6 years ago. And I've been going crazy with it ever since here in my city. I'm just now, like, putting out the education. Like, for the last year and a half, 2 years, I opened my office and I just started doing my courses and doing my education, because I felt comfortable enough. And that's another thing, like, with S&P artists, make sure you're going to somebody that has done it for a while before they start educating. All right, so they really know what they're talking about. They've put together a curriculum, and they've really studied the game, Because I'm a studier, bro. That's what I do. Like, I love camera. I'm self-taught, like YouTube books, photography books, hella YouTube videos. Like, I watch a lot of Peter McKinnon. I watch Creative Ryan. I watch so many YouTubers, and I'll sit there and just study what they do. Mm-hmm. Not to, just to know, you know what I'm saying, like different color grades. If there's something that I'm missing that I see that other people are doing, overlays, you know, different programs, I'll just go on YouTube and just sit there. Like, I'll go through a rabbit hole. There's times where, like, I'll wake, because I usually wake up at like 4:30 in the morning, go to the gym. I catch myself sitting in my truck till like 6 a.m. because I done went through a rabbit hole of YouTube and I can't get out of the truck because I'm learning. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I'm the same way with everything. I think I just, that's just, I enjoy it. I enjoy learning. So I did the same thing with S&P, just going through, just learning the steps. Even watching tattoo artists, how they wrap their machines, mm-hmm. you know, certain techniques that they do, bring that into the S&P, because it's essentially, you know, we kind of have the same setup, same breakdown. So I started studying a lot of tattoo artists, how they did their thing, how they wrap machines. And I started wrapping machines way different than any other S&P artist because I learned from a tattoo artist.
Let me ask you, when you,
bro, that's what I enjoy.
When you went into that whole kind of learning, I think that's something that's relatable with artists, right? Artists typically have obsessive personalities. When we decide that we want to attach ourselves to something or we want to know something, we don't want to know a little bit. We want to know as much as possible, right? When you kind of went into that mindset, that mode, did you seek any other courses in addition to your friend's course? Did you seek any other courses outside of YouTube that were actual people who have put more years into it, that have a more packaged information, you know what I mean, that you add to what he had provided you with?
So me and Jesse always kept in contact and bounced back ideas. So, like, me and him really were like the ones who learned together, you know what I'm saying? So now, I never took nobody else's course, you know. I wrote my curriculum. And we learned everything step by step. I did learn like inks and pigments from the companies who make it.
Right.
Same with needles, like going through the companies that make it and learning what needles mean, what 3RLs are, what the different needle types are, going through manufacturers. So that's where I educated myself on needles, what I was buying, and then same thing with pigments, like how you mix the pigment. I learned that from the actual pigment company because that's who's making it. I want to learn how they're mixing it. So then I would, you know, that's how I learned my education. Follicule, Ghost, watching how they mix their inks. And the thing about it is, bro, we're in an era now that everything's information. Right. Like, if you're a content creator right now, like even when you said earlier that they say, you know, some content creator or whoever's creating content is a gatekeeper, there's no way. Because in this era of content right now, everything Instagram wants to see is information. It's a simple look up a company like Follicule. All they do is post how they mix the inks, what new inks are coming out, how to use the inks. You know what I'm saying? So we're in an era of information. Right. So if you can't find it.
So there's a question right here. Freeze the Barber asks, do you need a tattoo license to do S&P?
So in the state of Florida, yes. There's certain regulations for each state depending on where you are. But in the state of Florida, I'm a certified tattoo artist. I also have a contract with the people who pick up all my stuff, like my red bags. There's a lot. There's a different process than just a regular barbershop. You got to get Stericycle, which is they come through, they pick up all your needles, they pick up all your bags, and you pay for that monthly. But you have to have that contract to go in business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the tattoo license.
So everything's
fairly cheap. Tattoo license is cheap in Florida. Stericycle is probably, depending on how many needles you put out a week, every 2 weeks, they'll charge you differently. So yeah, there is a couple steps you got to take, but they're not difficult, and I teach all that in my course.
So the S&P factory, is it an actual a separate building than the barbershop is in, or
yes? So the S&P factory is 1600 square feet. And I have I do a lot of my content creating in there. If you go on the Andes page, I'm pinned to the top, and you'll see that I was in the S&P factory when I shot that video.
Okay. But
yeah, so I shoot a lot of content in there. I use it for my creative space. I also have a tattoo artist in there working. So it's a space for like a little bit of everything. I have a barbershop on one side, because in the state of Florida, you have to be separate in separate rooms.
Okay.
That's what I'm Hey, did you have to have separate entrance? Like, you have
to have
so a shop and a barbershop.
Yeah, so luckily, like, the space that I'm in, it was attached to about 400 square feet next door. And what we did, we just knocked the wall down,
mm-hmm.
and I built a barn door. So it's almost like a secret barbershop area door. So I cut hair in there, and then I'll bring my clients over to the floor, and that's where we do S&P. And then the back of my studio, that's where I have, like, my photography lights, my white wall, all my video and photography stuff in the back.
So with the S&P, how many would you say you do in a week, if you don't mind me asking? Like, is it a pretty regular thing you're doing?
Yeah, so right now I'm only cutting hair one day a week on Fridays. But my barbershop is in my same plaza, so I'm still able to be there and work around. I think something that's really helped me right with S&P, and because it's a constant, like, you're constant marketing. It's not like barbering where, like, you build a clientele and you're good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You could just keep feeding that clientele and it's just going to keep growing. Or you do have your slow seasons. Like, it's not, you know, because you see a client one time, you might not see them again for 2 years when they come get a touch up. So it's a constant thing that you have to market. And one of the best things that I did was get with a marketing agency and start learning about, you know, Facebook ads, Google ads, things like that. And that actually helped me with my barbershop too. Cause I had no idea, you know what I'm saying, how to really, like, paid ads and all that stuff, AdSense. I didn't know any of that stuff. So once I got into S&P and was like, okay, let me figure out how I can get busier. Because there was weeks that I would do five S&P. And then there was weeks where I'd do one, you know what I'm saying? There was days where I'd do three, you know, I'd do one full service. I do a second session, and then I might do, like, a lineup in the afternoon. But then there's days where it is slow. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things that, like, you got to learn marketing. And that's something that we talk about as well in my course.
Absolutely. I think that's probably one of the things that most people would, if you are interested in taking Angel's course, let me sell you on it real quick. Let me sell you on it real quick. I think that I've listened to a lot of people, man. I've listened to a lot of people. I am a obsessive personality type of person. And once I have it in my head that this is something I want to do, hours of research. I mean, months, yeah. Sometimes years of research going to it. To the point that once I get the opportunity to sign up for the class, I'm hearing back things that I've heard. It's weird. I put it to you like this, real quick. I wanted to buy a motorcycle, so I watched probably motorcycle videos every day, every opportunity I got for about a year. Every person I seen on a motorcycle, I would ask questions. Yeah. Every time I got a chance to get my hands on, they remember the books that break down the parts. I would get those books.
Like,
I would read those books, right? When I went and bought my first motorcycle, I had never ridden before, never took a rider's course, nothing. I got my first bike, and I got on the interstate the first day, and I learned how to go through, cycle through the clutch, everything. I've never done none of this, but I had done so much research that it felt familiar, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I want to say for anybody that's looking to get involved in that class, one of the most valuable things that I heard Angel say on this podcast tonight is, one, he took the time to construct a curriculum that was packed where you will have the essential information, because he went and did it.
Mm.
And he left that class and he felt like it was a lot of information left out, first. Second, he's going to show you what things he's already used to find success in it, right? That's the part that a lot of people in these classes, they leave that out.
Yeah.
They'll give you the game, right? They'll give you the information, but they might not give you the products that you need in order to be successful with the information. They'll give you the products, but they're going to leave out 50% of the game.
Yeah.
They're going to give you the products in the game, but they're not going to tell you how to market it. They're not going to tell you how this market is different from what you're already doing. So when I hear somebody that say that they have all those things and they mean that, That's a value in itself. I feel like that's an investment that's going to pay for itself. It's going, the return on an investment, it won't take long.
Yeah.
It won't take long, especially if you're somewhere like here. They don't have a lot of S&P here. I don't know anybody that does S&P here. And if they do, they're definitely not marketing themselves because I never see it, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those. I tell you, I had a tattoo guy. The last guy, the guy who did the tattoo on my neck, was telling me that he offers a mentorship to barbers for S&P. But he said guys never finish it. They come and they don't want to come and sit and learn. They want to come for one day, get all the information, get everything they need, and leave ready to go and do it. And he said that's just not.
Yeah.
Unless you take a S&P direct class, and in most cases that might be a 2-day class.
Yeah.
I don't know. DJ said he got to get off. I just want to thank DJ for hooking up with us. He was the middleman who hooked us up with Angel. So, DJ, we greatly appreciate it, man. You have a good night. I didn't mean to cut y'all off, but I just wanted to give him a shout out. We appreciate it.
I keep forgetting he in Oklahoma, but I don't know why I keep thinking DJ is in Texas, bro. he just got a Texas aura about him, right, bro.
There.
Yeah. So
like you said, 2-day. Yeah, I don't really too much like 2-day courses, and I don't like when I see the big old S&P classes, man. To be honest with you, like, to each his own. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If that's something you want to do, you want to go to a class with 30 students. I do 6 students max because I enjoy having that one-on-one time with each of my students and making sure that I'm giving them the full attention that they need, especially when they're spending that amount of money with me. I don't like taking on a whole lot of students, so I do 6 at a time. And then we always communicate after. So we got the group chat with each class, even if it's one-on-ones. Like I pride myself in having successful students, and I enjoy that part of it. Like the ones that, because you do have the ones that come, they take the class, and then they just kind of, they'll dibble and dabble with it, and then they don't really go full throttle with it. But then I really enjoy the ones that like go and immediately jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're sending me pictures of melons that they bought and have, you know, have been doing their procedures on the melons. And their first client, I walk them through that, or like figure out what color the ink they should be using. That's what I enjoy. Like I enjoy the mentorship part of it. It is hard because, you know, obviously it's a lot of people to communicate with.
Right.
But the select few that actually like hit me up and continue to conversate and ask questions, I do enjoy that part of it.
So who or what kind of head would be a prime candidate for S&P?
What you got under that hat, man?
I'm good.
nah, you're good. Nah, so I'm interested. Nah, I think really, bro, somebody with a low buzz cut. So like a lot of times people want to just sharpen up their hairline and keep the hair. You got to understand that S&P is 2D. It's going to lay flat on the head where the hair is 3D. So sometimes like S&P artists will take that client. A lot of times I deny those type of clients because it just doesn't look right. You know what I'm saying? And then it doesn't give them the actual give them the results that they're looking for, right? Because S&P, like I said, is 2D. It's going to lay flat. So it'll fill it in. Like when the guy's got the comb overs and they want to fill in the crown, it gives it a background layer to the hair. But sometimes we, S&P artists, they give out false hope, false expectations. So I never want to be that guy. So like most of the time I try to get my clients to buzz their hair down low so it looks super natural.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed when I seen yours when we were at CT, it looked real clean. How often do you kind of follow your own advice? Do you get touch-ups every couple of years, or is yours more often?
Yeah, so for me, I like to keep it fresh. I haven't gotten a touch-up in about 2.5 years. And the reason I did get my touch-up was because my hairline was a little further back. Because I did have hair, I would buzz it down with a 1 and then line it up. So I was still getting like a bald fade. And I was on a cruise one time and I said, you know what, I ain't got time for this. I just shaved it bald and I liked the way it looked. But my hairline was a little high. So then I went back and then Jesse brought it down for me. So we had to go a little darker than what I initially wanted because we had to blend that in.
Mm-hmm.
But we brought the hairline down. You can't really see where the other one was. So it ended up, I ended up liking, you know, the color. I got used to it.
So with, with your sales pitch, because you do the S&P, what's the biggest pro of getting the S&P done, in your opinion?
So for me, like a lot of the clients that I get, they're business owners. They have, you know, they got busy lives. These people are spending that much money. They're doing all types of other things. And what I always tell them is like the time, like sitting in a barber chair. Like even if you're in a gym and you can't make it to the barber, you could just literally buzz your head and you're good to go. Another thing, a lot of people get their hairline pushed back, especially on these temple points. Get S&P, there is no, I mean, if you push that back, you should probably get some mentorship.
Hey, you push back S&P, get some bail money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So as we round it off, because we know it's late, we don't want to keep you there too much. I know you talked about your hard work and the doors and opportunities that it's open. So I know you're an educator, a global educator with Andes. You're with Rolda. You're doing Barber Strong now, right?
Barber Strong.
Any more ambassadorships? Can you just kind of run through and just kind of tell everybody kind of what you're doing with those opportunities you got?
I do education. Like I enjoy teaching, but my main thing is content creating. So I'm creating a lot of content for these companies on top of doing education as well. It's just another avenue. So now it's been able to open the door for me to not just be with the educational team, but to also be on phone calls with the marketing staff. Like, you know, what do you guys need for social media content? What are you guys looking at? So it's opened the door for me to be not only part of just the barber educational, you know, team, but also be in contact with marketing. So I have deeper roots with these companies now because I'm able to have different conversations that that just a barber that doesn't know a camera would be able to have. And I think that's an avenue I just created for myself, you know, just like I said, being an artist, like enjoying it and figuring out ways to market my barbershop. You know, I would hire videographers, I would hire photographers, they wouldn't turn in my videos in time. You know, I just got tired of paying these people so much money and not getting a return on it. So I just picked up a camera and just started shooting and marketing my barbershop and taking pictures of my barbers and doing videos for my barbers and learning marketing. And that translated into now I'm taking pictures of the educators. Now I'm doing videos for the educators. Now I'm having conversations with the head of marketing for Andes Clipper Company. Like, it's just a different avenue. And then we got some stuff in the works with GMB Pro, so stay on the lookout for that. But just partnering up with these amazing companies, man, it's truly a blessing. Not just on the educational side, but being able to get creative and them giving me the freedom to be creative.
And did those doors open through making contacts, like you talked about going to the shows and investing in that part? Those doors. Up, or how did some of those doors open up with you being able to do the content creation?
Yeah, so these companies could have hired anybody, you know what I'm saying? There's millions of videographers, photographers, and there's millions of them, but the relationship, you know what I'm saying? The conversation, the being genuine, the being able to relate. You know, I'm not just a photographer, but I'm a barber first, you know? Mm-hmm. And so certain angles, certain shots that barbers look for, certain things that the educators want me to capture. They drop a gem. I've watched their classes so many times that I know it's coming. You know what I'm saying? It's like a song they sing. Like I've heard a lot of the gems. I know a lot of the lines that Kenny says. There's times where, like, even this weekend, I was in Danny's class and he was like, Angel, what's the last part of my? And I said it because I've been there. You know what I'm saying? I've heard it. And so I know when those gems are coming, I'm able to record them and I'm able to put them in visual form for social media content. So yeah, it is definitely the relationship that I have. You know, each educator feels comfortable when I'm standing behind them on stage shooting them. Like, I'm not a random videographer, photographer. Like, I'm we know each other. Like, we'll go to dinner after this. Like, so we enjoy working with each other. The chemistry is there, you know what I'm saying? So I've built a lot of solid relationships that have opened those doors. It's not just the fact that I picked up a camera, because I'm not gonna sit here and say that I'm the best videographer, photographer in the world. I'm not, but my relationships are solid.
Yeah.
So I got another question.
I like that.
And did you ever imagine that touring would take you to the heights and open the doors that it has for you. Could you have ever imagined that?
Nah, not barbering. But I always knew I was going somewhere. Because I wasn't going to have it no other way.
Yeah.
I come from nothing, bro. I ain't going back.
You see it, right?
Straight up.
No doubt. No doubt. We get it because we done came from the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. It ain't new to us either. We totally understand it. Get it all too well. And I think that's a lot of us in the industry come from, you know, similar backgrounds, man.
Yeah. You know? Definitely.
That's one thing I love about it. Shai, you got anything you want to add? I know I ran off few in a row.
Good. You good, man. I was tired when I first got on here, man, but listening, clearly he didn't woke me up, right? Just listening to you got an interesting story. You have a very interesting perspective. You have a perspective that I can, like you just said, I can relate to it. So it's been an absolute pleasure just listening to
you. My pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me on and everything you guys are doing for the industry, man. I can see this going a very long way. Just got to think about it. You know, you've already done a lot.
And just taking your time out, man, come on here and give us your story, man. Give our flowers, man. We appreciate you. You're definitely inspiring to our industry. You inspire us, man, so we appreciate it. Gonna keep rocking with you and watching what you're doing, man. So we greatly appreciate
it. Don't let this be the last time, man.
Absolutely.
We'll definitely communicate and we'll make something happen.
You're gonna get tired of seeing us in your comments and in your inbox.
Sure, no doubt.
Nah.
I do got one question I hit you, and I talked to DJ because y'all were clicking up. I forget what was going on, but I seen that jacket you had, the barber, like the Letterman joint.
Yeah.
Are those for sale?
Yeah, so we're working. So Barber Life is a brand that we started in 2011, 12. That was my introduction after I like competing and doing. I just started because I would compete in these different t-shirts. And one of my best friends, he has a print shop here in Jacksonville. So we started Barber Life and we're getting back on that train. So that was just a little taste of what's coming. 2024, we're going to be doing monthly drops.
Okay.
Barber Life. Those jackets will be part of those drops. It just depends on which one. You know what I'm saying? Like every month is going to be different.
Man.
Yeah, what we don't want to do is just start taking orders because we want to make it super limited to barbers. So it's coming. Barber Life is coming.
I'm not saying I was the first to add, but DJ can account. Look,
I said, hit me up after this. We'll make something happen.
Okay. I definitely want to write that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now,
I do want to ask you.
Barber Supply should have some of our Barber Life stuff. They're going to be one of our carriers out there.
Who is that?
Barber Supply in Fort Worth.
Shout out Fort Worth, man.
Yeah, people.
Okay. Go ahead, Chad.
I do want to ask you, man. Now that you've come on and you've given us your time, we appreciate that again. How has this podcast been of a service to you? And if it hasn't, how can we be of a service to you?
I think opening up my mind to these conversations, man, because a lot of times the questions you guys ask are more relatable to my story because you guys have been through what I've been through. So you know the questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I think tonight I actually opened up a little more than I typically do on certain questions that you asked. And I think I enjoyed that part of it because sometimes I'll jump on with like certain I do a lot of interviews with people that aren't barbers or just haven't been through what I've been through. And they ask questions and it's kind of like surface questions where we kind of deeper into it and like really talked. So I think I enjoyed that part. I think that was of service to me because there's actually some stuff that we talked about tonight that I will use in further education and classes. I think it's necessary.
Absolutely. You know absolutely.
Are you guys shooting behind this? Like, are you guys just set up on the phone or do you guys post this anywhere else?
Typically, I have my camera set up behind here. And what we're doing right now, shout out Cutflow Dre, is we're transitioning to going to StreamYard.
Yes.
Where we can capture everything in a more high quality setting where you, as you know, on your phone, it kind of drops out pixelation sometimes. You get the sound changes every now and again. We're transitioning to StreamYard so that we can take everything and format it where it can be edited, clipped up into reels. We can take just voice and talking head clips of each guest like yourself, and we can send you that entire file. That way, if you wanted to clip it up, you can clip it up as well. We got some things that we're working on. It's just taking time because as of right now, like you said, it's our four hands. Right.
Yeah.
In addition to managing businesses and managing personalities and building and all that. So it's something that we're transitioning to. Yeah.
That would be my only thing, just adding that to, so that way even after the, because a lot of people there, you know, you get a lot of people to tune in, but then you also get people that you could throw up a highlight and be like, damn, I missed it. I'm not going to miss it next time.
Exactly.
And so I think that would be my only take, is like adding another way, another form of content to it besides just the live, you know, the live setting up the cameras and then editing it. And there's a couple different apps like the one you mentioned.
If you have any advice with those, just shoot them into the DM. Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially if I think that I have a enormous respect for guys like yourself who have figured out how to not only capture the content, but edit the content in addition,
right,
working full on careers, managing multiple businesses, yeah, and traveling.
Yeah.
Brother, listen, I'm not ashamed to show the internet that my hair crazy, but when I tell you, I know how difficult that can be on a small scale. Right. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to wrap, my head is hurting now trying to wrap my mind around how you're able to do that. I have a enormous respect for guys who are able to do that, because it's god damn, it's work. It is work.
Yeah.
So I respect it. So I know, any of you have,
I know a lot of guys use apps like Fiverr. They use apps like Upwork.
We've tried with them and we run into problems with that.
Yeah. I kind of dabbled with it, but I just like I like to edit. So
was the other one you said? Upwork.
Upwork. Yeah. Upward, find it on there.
Check it. I've tried going to, because it's a college not too far from here, and they got a media and audio and all that. I tried going and you know, a kid told me, he said, man, I'm looking for about $900 a week. That's not in the budget. I appreciate the ambition. But I'm gonna wrap it up. Last question. I promise you, we ain't got no more. Last question, because I'm an hour ahead, so it's 10 o'clock your time, right? Last question.
You good?
Now that you've been on the podcast, and we appreciate you, man. Is there anybody else, just like DJ through that alley-oop? Is there anybody that you would like to see on the podcast? And before you answer that, the part of that is, you got to help us get them on.
There's a lot of people, bro. I would like to see some of the top educators, bro. Like, I would like to see Kenny Duncan. I'd like to see Success Danny. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see, you know, anybody that could talk that, you know, some information. Chico Boom. You know what I'm saying? Man, I could keep going. The list goes on. You know what I'm saying? And then I'll definitely help with that.
If you get a chance, shoot.
Bones the GOAT.
I've hit Bones.
That's why I said it. But
I've hit Duncan quite a few times. Matter of fact, Marcus Harvey had put me in touch, and we were in a group text, and he hadn't been able to get back to us yet. But man, he's one of the guys that puts me in awe with his education, his ability to, you know, the word play and just get things across, but at the same time make it relatable.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. He does an excellent job educating. So,
We definitely look at, we'll reach out to them. Bones, I had the pleasure to meet him a few times. Man, that dude is
Yeah, that's my brother, man.
I love him, bro. I don't even know him, and I love him, bro, because every time I meet him, he the same. No matter where I meet him, no matter what stage he's going to, no matter why he's there, he the same person, bro.
Yeah, that's my brother. We talk damn near every day, bro.
It's hard to find people like that. I actually got a clip that got... I'm so frustrated about it, bro. Right. I brought my camera to CT,
right.
And this is right when he was announcing his... it was before he announced his... him being added to the, I think it's the Ronda team as an ambassador. It was right before he announced it. He told me on camera. I got the exclusive of him. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to give you, and nobody noticed. It just happened. I just talked about it today. Told me on camera, got on the plane, got to the airport trying to edit video, and lost all the damn footage, man.
Damn.
All the footage. Yeah.
level though.
Yeah.
We would greatly appreciate that, man. If you could assist us, man, we would be it would be an honor and a privilege, bro.
Absolutely.
Definitely, man. I got you. Any way I can help.
Okay.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you again. Please, we always tell people this. Express our thanks and gratitude to your family, because every minute that you spend with us is a minute away from them, and we do not take that for granted. So thank you. Thank you to them, man. Y'all have a good night. We out of here. If you cut my way out podcast, all you got to do is go up to the top, click down the arrow. We are live here on Instagram every Wednesday night at 7:30 Central Standard Time. If you're not following Angel, you tripping, because he just laid out all this jewel of information in the middle of the night for y'all. And if you didn't digest it, you got an eating problem or something. Maybe you got a disorder. You need to figure that out. This has been the I Cut My Way Out podcast. I've been Shy. It's been Ash. It's been Angel. Y'all have a good, safe night. Peace.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
you, man. Yeah.